Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. Today I'll be presenting on the topic of the prevalence and risk of non-infectious comorbidities in men living with HIV who attend general practice in Australia. The cohort of people living with HIV in Australia is ageing. As of 2017, according to the Kirby report, about 46% of people living with HIV were over the age of 50 years, and that's likely to be over 50% today. And as the people in this room will be well aware, comorbidity and the complex of medical care among people living with HIV is increasing. In the era of effective antiretroviral therapy, life expectancy among people living with HIV has improved, as the proportion of deaths attributable to AIDS-related illnesses have declined. But despite these advances, non-AIDS-related mortality rates remain higher among people living with HIV than otherwise matched controls. One predictor of excess mortality among people living with HIV is the presence of non-infectious medical comorbidities. And here's some data from a Danish cohort that compared a control group of the general population with HIV patients with undetectable viral load, those with detectable viral load, and those with comorbidities. And this graph shows survival 1 year after commencement of antiretroviral therapy with age on the x-axis. And you can see a clear differentiation between the groups with the poorest outcomes in those with associated comorbidities. The aim of our study was to describe the prevalence and risk of selected non-infectious comorbidities among men living with HIV in Australia. The non-infectious comorbidities we investigated were cardiovascular disease, chronic kidney disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer and osteoporosis, along with anxiety and depression. The first five of these comorbidities we included in the analysis because they're reported to be an increased prevalence among people living with HIV, their potential drivers of excess mortality, and their potential targets of prevention and screening activities. Mental health services and psychological support are also reported in the literature, particularly by Australian antiretroviral prescribers, as key unmet areas of need, and we've investigated the prevalence and risk of anxiety and depression as well. We conducted an Australia-wide cross-sectional observational study using Medicine Insight, which is a program administered by the National Prescribing Service, the NPS. Medicine Insight is the first large-scale national primary care data collection program in Australia. And as of June this year, includes 715 general practices with 3.6 regular patients, 5,000 general practitioners, and in that data set, 2,700 people living with HIV. At the time of our data extraction in June 2017, there were slightly less participating practices, about 615, I think. From that data set, we included all adult male patients who had at least 3 visits to a general practitioner in a 2-year period, and we divided them into 2 cohorts, those living with HIV and all other patients from the same general practices. And we extracted longitudinal data from the electronic clinical information systems of the general practices enrolled in Medicine Insight. We defined the HIV-positive cohort as those patients who had HIV recorded in their GP clinical information system in the diagnosis table, reasons for prescriptions or reasons for visit. And we defined the non-infectious comorbidities as clinician-recorded dichotomous outcomes. And we extracted data from free text fields, including diagnosis, medical history, reason for encounter, and reason for prescription. We also extracted some data on socioeconomic status and rurality, which we included in our analysis. So now looking at the participant characteristics, there were 2,406 people living with HIV, men living with HIV included in the analysis, and 648,000 men from the general practice population. As you can see, the demographic characteristics of the two cohorts differed. The men living with HIV reflected a predominantly urban-dwelling population, mostly aged between 45 and 64 years, and there was a high proportion of men living with HIV in the most advantaged of the socioeconomic quintiles. Men living with HIV had a statistically significant high prevalence of depression, anxiety, cancer, osteoporosis, and chronic kidney disease. We saw no overall difference in the unadjusted rates or the prevalence of cardiovascular disease. And type 2 diabetes, interestingly, was significantly less prevalent among men living with HIV. I'll now present the age-stratified prevalence and odds of each of these comorbidities. On the left-hand side, you can see the age strata from 18 to 29 up to 75 plus, with the HIV cohort in blue and the GP cohort in pink. And on the right-hand side, the overall prevalence rates. and the odds ratios below them are adjusted for socioeconomic status and rurality. So this is data for depression. And as you can see, the overall prevalence of depression was 35.5% in the HIV cohort and 15% in the general practice cohort with an adjusted odds ratio of 3.3. We found a consistently elevated odds of depression among people, men living with HIV, which was statistically significant in all age groups up to 75 years. We found a similar pattern of prevalence and risk of anxiety. The overall prevalence of recorded anxiety was 22.9% in the HIV cohort and 10.9% in the general practice cohort with an adjusted odds ratio of 2.4. And again, statistically significant across all age strata up to the age of 75 years. Next, looking at all cancer diagnoses. The overall prevalence of all cancer diagnoses was significantly higher among men living with HIV at 13.7% compared to 8.3% in the general practice cohort. The highest odds of cancer was seen in the youngest age groups, and that gradually tapered to parity in those aged over 75 years, but significant elevated odds ratios in particularly younger men, even though the prevalence of these diagnoses was low. Looking at cardiovascular disease, the overall prevalence of cardiovascular disease was not different between the HIV cohort and the general practice cohort. When stratified by age, however, we found the highest odds ratio among the youngest men, although the prevalence was low. And the odds of cardiovascular disease were significantly elevated in men aged 45 to 64 and 65 to 74 years at 1.4 and 1.6, with prevalence rates of 8.9% and up to 29% in those two groups respectively. So 29% in the 65 to 74-year-old age bracket. Looking at osteoporosis, the overall prevalence of osteoporosis was significantly higher among men with HIV at 5.4% compared to 2.1%. And the odds of osteoporosis were higher in the youngest age strata. The peak prevalence was observed in men aged 64 to 75 years at 12.1%. Type 2 diabetes now. The overall prevalence of type 2 diabetes, very interestingly, was significantly lower among men with HIV at 5.7% compared with 8.4%. And this is an interesting observation. The Medicine Insight data set prevalence estimates of diabetes in the general population match very closely with national estimates. And I believe quite rigorously that our estimate among men with HIV is accurate and shows a clear lower risk in this population. The odds of type 2 diabetes was consistently lower in the HIV cohort across all age strata, ranging from 0.5 to 0.8, and significantly so in men aged 45 to 64 and 65 to 74. And finally, sorry about all these graphs, the prevalence of diagnosed chronic kidney disease was higher in the HIV cohort than in the general practice cohort. But both the HIV cohort and the general practice cohort estimates of CKD prevalence are much lower than other reported population prevalence estimates. This likely reflects very low rates of screening, diagnosis, and recording of chronic kidney disease in clinical information systems. In the general practice population, chronic kidney disease is, biochemical evidence of chronic kidney disease is present in about 1 in 10 people in Australia, so we'd expect an estimate of 10%, and is reported particularly in older people living with HIV at rates of up to 25 to 30%. And so these figures are clearly underestimates and do reflect, I think, an under-screening and under-recording of chronic kidney disease diagnoses. I think it's very important when dealing with retrospective cohort studies to focus on the limitations and really appreciate them and take the data in the context of the limitations that we have. So all retrospective cohort studies are, of course, at risk of unmeasured bias. And I think ascertainment bias in particular is important in this data set. I'm thinking about conditions like osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease, which certainly might be screened for more commonly among men living with HIV who are known to be at increased risk for these conditions. Our data set is also unadjusted for risk factors that might vary between the groups and might explain some of the difference we've seen. Viral hepatitis, smoking, body mass index, alcohol consumption, recreational drug use, all of these variables we haven't controlled for. Data in this analysis is also extracted from clinical information systems designed for patient care. So case definitions are not research-based. For instance, a patient presenting with symptoms of anxiety or depression might have a diagnosis made in a clinical information system that doesn't meet the diagnostic criteria that we would use in other medical research. And importantly, this data set doesn't include sexual health clinics. It's all general practices. And that's one difference between this and the Apple study, which is an Australian cohort looking at older men with HIV. In conclusion, men living with HIV have higher recorded rates of depression, anxiety, all cancer diagnoses, osteoporosis and CKD than men attending other men attending primary care. There appeared to be a premature onset of higher risk for osteoporosis, cancer and cardiovascular disease. And men living with HIV in Australia had significantly lower rates of diagnosed diabetes, despite adjusting for age, rurality and socioeconomic status. So thank you.